Welcome to Queer PG's 2025 Halloween Special, starring Kenzie Tartaglioni and Ashley Westover, an actual play of Murderous Ghosts by D. Vincent Baker and Meg A. Baker. The Major's Inn is an abandoned Victorian hotel in a forgotten town in upstate New York. It was built in elaborate Tudor Revival style with 50 bedrooms, a great hall, two reception halls, a dining room, a restaurant, a bar, a billiards room, and all the attendant servant quarters and access ways. Like many resorts like it, it didn't survive the Great Depression. Now it's been closed and shuttered for decades, crumbling. Some kind of terrible violence happened here.
My name is Sam. I'm 23. I'm visiting my hometown for holiday break from college. I've not been doing too well in college, even though I consider myself very smart. It's hard for academia to keep me engaged, pretty much. I'm a very more hands-on person. I do a lot of sports, pretty like extroverted and athletic, but there's not as many friends up here in my hometown as there are like back at college, and so I'm trying to find things to do. I'm an urban explorer, and tonight I've been exploring around this old abandoned Major's Inn. There's an open ground floor window that I sort of like snuck my way in through, and I've been going upwards for a while. There's like this really grimy, narrow staircase, and I think I finally got into the top. I've kept a rough track of the turns and the staircases, and I'm pretty sure I'm not lost. It's you know, a fairly standard layout as well. If the MC could please turn to 1 in your book.
You have climbed through this window and entered the Major's Inn, passing through a collection of rooms. When you come into one, everything in the house so far has been pitch black. There are no lights in here. You know, the electricity hasn't been on since this was condemned. And you walk into this room, and all of a sudden, all of these wall sconces alight. In a warm, very welcoming, warm glow, as you see this polished oak bar, curved and wide, mirroring the giant round table set in this alcove. There are dusty bottles on the back shelves, and you can smell in the air this lingering smell of cigar smoke. There is a stone fireplace roaring with heat, but there isn't anybody within the room, despite that it feels like people might have just got up and left. You see remnants of wine in a glass on a table. You see an empty beer bottle rolling across the floor into a corner. And you also see, as your eyes kind of follow that beer bottle, this drag of blood across the floor, as if somebody had been carrying and sliding something large and bloody across the uneven stones.
Things were fine until they weren't.
You can turn to page 2.
What's the worst thing this suggests to you? When they first walk in and the lights turn on and they see like the bar top is polished and there's like signs of people that have just been here, maybe their first thought was like, oh god, is this like some secret meetup for like the local kids or some sort of weird like Illuminati society, like there's other people here and I've interrupted something important? And then as my eye falls on the rolling bottle and the smear of blood, the worst suggestion that this is to me is a threat to me, because I'm under the impression that maybe there are dangerous people here and there is something bad happening. My brain hasn't jumped to anything supernatural. I'm just an urban explorer. I'm not a ghost hunter. Tell the MC the best thing you've done in your life so far. I think the best thing that Sam has done so far is just get accepted into their dream college. I'll say it's NYU. You know, they went from upstate to NYU, and now they're back up again. And they got a sports scholarship in track and field. And so they're very proud of themselves for that. And now I have to draw. On your first draw of the game, this is a free draw. No matter what card it is, count it as 13 to 20. Well, I drew a 6, so I guess that's good. If you haven't seen a ghost here, tell the MC to turn to 3 in her book.
As you see this rolling bottle in this room, I'd say that you're still kind of like at the doorway, just having entered. What do you do? Because there isn't anything else necessarily from your vantage point that's drawing your attention. Because there is no ghost here yet, or there is no ghost here anymore.
First instinct when I took a step in the room was to be like, oh, hello. But then those words quickly died on my tongue when I saw the blood. And now I'm like, maybe I should just get the fuck out. And so I'm just going to like turn back around and try to leave the room quietly, so I don't notify any person to my presence. Plan to like call the cops after I get out or something. Like, hey, there's maybe violence happening in this old house.
You leave this bar, this parlor room of sorts, and you enter back into the hallway. The hallways here have all been similar in the sense that they are rather long. There are doors ever so often intermittently sparsed, and there is like a carpet of a color your eyes can't quite tell in the dark here that runs the length of the floor on top of what is a wooden old creaky floor as you step across it.
Can I start walking like along the edge of the hall where it's less likely to creak?
Yeah, so you start making your way down this, we'll call it the East Hall. I need you to draw a card.
I'm at a 10 right now.
You see down the hallway as you kind of walk. You hear it too. You hear like the sound of creaky wheels. And you see this figure kind of grayed out in the bad lighting, pushing a housekeeping cart down the hallway toward you. You see that its hands are gripped tightly, thin, bony, pretty long around the cart's handle. It is also like the body of it is fairly slender. It's not tall or anything, but this individual is like, seems not well nourished.
Does it seem solid, or can I see through it?
It's not translucent. And even though you are trying to kind of slowly tiptoe your way and avoid the creakiest parts of this floor, this building is old. And you step your foot down on a plank, it goes, and the ghost's head whips towards you very fast. Eyes completely locked on yours. After that movement happens, it just goes stock still, staring at you. Its eyes like black voids.
Is there a door next to me, or is this just like a solid hallway?
It's not a solid hallway. There are doors every so often, but if you were to go to the door that's closest to you, it's the one like directly across from the ghost.
I think I'm also just gonna freeze and stare at this ghost. If it starts like running at me, I'm gonna run back to behind me to try to get to that the next closest door. But then if it just seems to like, I don't know. I think Sam at this moment is just like, okay, now we are in official, what the fuck is going on territory, because that's not how a person is supposed to like move and look. They're freezing up for a moment because they're like, they feel like they're like sort of stuck and not sure what to do here.
The long fingers slowly kind of curl up and away from the handles as the arms go down by their side. Their movements are very rigid, as if they're walking on some sort of invisible path. And they turn like completely 90 degrees and take a couple steps, and then turn 45 degrees towards you and begin approaching you, I need you to turn to number 17. Or sorry, I turn to 17. And then you go to 14.
What do you most hope it doesn't do? If I turn to it and I say, that room needs extra towels, and just like point at the door that it's closest to, just trying to be like, maybe this is like, they need a task.
Its mouth kind of opens as if it's going to respond to you, except what you see inside of it is like its eyes. It's just a black void, and it begins to stretch bigger. And as it does, it reaches its right hand out, the long fingers curving towards your throat.
What I most hope it doesn't do is follow me.
Okay, so you get to draw another card.
I pulled a 5.
15. You get to tell me what it does.
I'm interested in show me what it's hiding.
Its hand turns from where it's like, looks like it's gonna curl around your neck, and instead closes except for its pointer finger, which reaches forward and presses its long nail against the middle of your forehead. And in the moment it comes into contact with you, your entire body feels like it's slammed into a wall behind you. Your eyes fling open into this afternoon lit room where there is a figure in front of you who is probably a man in his late 50s, very well kept facial hair, a full three-piece suit on in a a middling blue color. And his hand is currently wrapped around your neck as you're up from the floor, and your hands are scrabbling at his hand as you feel the air being cut off from your lungs. And all of a sudden you feel like you're dropping 100 feet, and your stomach goes up into your throat, and you slump against the floor in this darkened hallway of the Major's Inn. And there is not a ghost or a cart in this hallway. What do you do when you see this and your kind of heart is beating, your breath is coming fast?
I think I'm gonna scramble to my feet. I think at this point I'm freaked out, and I'm not trying to sneak anymore. I'm just trying to run, because obviously it's not people or anything here. Sam is just going to use their track and field scholarship legs and book it.
As you race down this hallway to the staircase, you hear a sound. It is kind of like a breath. And you race to the stairwell and you pound down them. And you went up this stairwell before, and you didn't notice this door on the way down that's not a door onto a different floor, but next to one.
I think Sam is of the mind of no, that's freaky, I'm just gonna get the fuck out. Weird doors appearing, ghost housekeepers, good dudes in suits, killing me in a sunny afternoon. No, nay, I say, no, thank you. I will mind my own business and get the fuck out is the goal.
You race down to the bottom of the stairwell, which is the second floor of the inn, and you come bursting out of it into this narrow gallery that looks down over a grand room where 200 guests could dine.
So to be clear, the Governor's Inn is 3 stories total, and I'm on the second story now.
Actually, that's super interesting, Sam. You went down a lot more stairs than 3 floors worth. And as you come in here and you race across the gallery, a movement catches your eye, and you see a woman, early 30s, in this, what looks to be, again, it's in a grayscale, but what looks to be this gorgeous gown, twirling by herself, but arms up as if she were dancing with a partner around this room below you. Her hair is up in pins behind her head. Her eyes are closed, and you can hear almost faintly as if she's humming a song you can't hear. Her voice, like, beautiful and lilting up with the movement of the song. You need to turn to 4.
So the gallery above the ballroom, like, how far up?
The ballroom is, like, 2 stories high. So you're, like, 1 story up. So you're probably, like, 10 feet from the ground.
And there's no other music or any other sounds, but are there any, like, lights in here?
How you're seeing is the moonlight coming through these, like, huge floor-to-ceiling windows. Curved windows across. I would assume you would have a flashlight as well.
I would use it in, like the pitch black, like, stairwells and things like that. But for rooms like this, I feel like it would just draw more attention to me. So I click it off whenever I enter a room that has, like, light of its own. The way the gallery is that I've come down from these stairs, do I see where another set of stairs that goes down is from here? Like, where's my exit from this spot?
So there aren't any actual stairs to the ballroom floor from the gallery. There are 2 doors. So the door you entered, and then across this gallery, there's a door on the other side. That it looks exactly the same.
Run quietly. Just like speed is more important than sneakiness, because I'm hoping to just get out of here still. Sort of like adrenaline's pumping. Fight or flight has kicked in, and we are for sure in flight. What do you most hope it doesn't do? I really don't want her to open her eyes and look at me. I'll go ahead and just draw, and we'll see. I'm probably going to bust, but I want to. Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, cool. 13 to 20, it does none of them. Tell the MC to turn to 13 in her book. As I'm scurrying across to the other door, the door on the other side of the gallery.
I would say that you are trying to avoid the ghost's attention while doing something that might attract it by running, because you said it's less about stealth and more about speed. You need to turn to 30 and tell me where to go.
So I'm going to recall and shuffle a 10. I press on anyway. Tell the MC that the ghost reacts to you. Tell the MC to turn to 17 in her book.
This ghost's eyes snap open, and the song it's be humming turns into this strangled screech as it starts to fly directly towards you on the gallery. I'm going to have you turn to number 10.
Ask the MC what the ghost is capable of doing to you.
I think there are many things. This ghost, as it's careening towards you, you see that it is not this very well put together young woman anymore, but it is instead a woman whose makeup is smeared across their face. And there is a large dripping gash across the front of their throat. You are certain in this moment that 2 things could happen to you. It could rip you off the gallery ledge and throw you to the floor below, or it could possess you.
I don't like either of those. The king plus a 10. Face cards out 11. That is a bust. I'm going to scramble back the way I came.
When there's, like, a person that you know isn't real, as in terms of, like, an alive, weighty human being sort of thing is what I mean by that, and they are coming at you so fast, flying upwards diagonally from a lower floor, you wouldn't anticipate them to have actual abilities to interact with the physical space around them. That just doesn't seem like a possible thing. It feels like they would be floating through things, obstacles in their way. That is not what happens here. What happens here is that this hand reaches out and grasps your shirt around the collar by the neck, rips you up off the ground, and is stronger than you would have expected as well, and is getting ready to send you sailing over the floor and down below. I need you to turn to number 40.
Queen, it's 11. You can't escape the ghost assault, but tell the MC what you do to try to survive it. As she's going to toss me, I feel that, and I try to, like, just grab onto her, like, the wrist, like, one hand on the wrist that she has on me, another hand to grab, like, at her bodice and her clothes to try and have an anchor. That way, when she tosses me, either I don't get tossed or, like, we both go and it, like, softens my...
You grab on to this ghost, so you guys are kind of one. And as her momentum is going forward to throw you over this balcony edge, you grab, and with the force of grabbing onto her, pull her with you. Unfortunately, that weight still sends you toppling over the edge of the balcony, and you kind of like flip over one another until you come smacking into the floor below. You've both managed to collide on the side on your shoulder, so it's not like your head smashes into the ground, which is what was more the most concerning part about this fall, was blunt force trauma to the head. She is still struggling viciously against you. She has not let you go, and she is turning you over onto your back with her hands still clasped around your collar, shoving you into the ground. I need you to go to number 42.
You've survived the ghost attack. Eventually it goes, leaving you for dead, but 16. I am disoriented and lost, and then MC needs to go to 33.
You feel yourself being shoved onto the ground, and you actually feel drops of this blood from this open gash wound in her neck drip onto your face as she's above you, shoving you into the floor. And then, unlike the previous ghost you've seen, her eyes are her eyes, even though there is mascara streaked everywhere. And there almost is like a moment of recognition that comes across them. And you feel the weight against your throat leave. And she stands up, puts her arms up like she is partnering with somebody, and spins away from you.
I want to just like start like rolling / crawling towards the closest wall. Don't mind me, I'm not here. Go back to your dancing. Sorry, I interrupted you in the first place. And then just like get to the closest wall and catch my breath and then look around at this level to see like what my options are. I'm imagining the ballroom is like a rectangle or something. And so like when we crash down to the ground fairly close, like one of the edges, I'm just gonna like finish like getting myself all the way to one of the walls, take a breath, and then look around to see like where the doors and exits and anything else that might be important are.
You have the windows, but they don't seem to be openable. And then you have this large double door set into, so say like we're on a rectangle, this is the window side. Across from the windows, there's this large double door, wooden double door set in the center of that wall.
The double doors, are they open or closed?
They're closed.
So there's no guarantee that they're like not locked or something. Because did I go through this room when I first entered?
Mm-mm.
I have the plan of like crawling over to the windows, holding my flashlight in my fist, wrapping my jacket around it, and then just like punching open the window and then just scrambling out and running across the lawn. That's my goal now. That's my plan.
You slam the flashlight into this window and you hear, instead of a shattering of glass, you hear exploding across the space like some sort of supernatural alarm. And you feel eyes on you. And you turn around and you look over your shoulder. There has to be 60, 100, 120 ghosts of all different ages staring directly at you. And all of them look to be angry. And you are the culprit of that anger. And any of the reasons that these ghosts are here in the Major's Inn, you're why they're here. And they all know that.
When I punched the window, did it feel like I didn't even really hit the window? Just like this magic alarm?
So you hit the window, but instead of it breaking in a crash of glass, this happened instead.
Does it feel like I can't break the window, I guess is my question.
You're not getting out of this room through the window. All of these ghosts begin to come towards you in some manner. The one that is closest is this boy, probably in the time that he was alive would have been considered a man, but in our modern day times, 13 to 15 years old. You see that it looks like he's crying. You see that it looks like all of his fingers have been broken. The tears streaming down his face don't stop the snarl and the glare and narrowing of his eyes towards you. I need you to go to, we'll do number 6 this time.
Tell the MC something you wanted the chance to do before you died.
I think that they wanted to win gold at their track and field competition in the spring.
Not just specifically like win gold in track and field, but like make my team proud. I wanted to make my friends proud, and I wanted to celebrate with them after we won.
Why didn't they come with you here tonight?
People either like normally stayed at the dorms for winter break, or they went back to their hometowns, and I was the only one who lived in this like, you know, small upstate town in New York. It's just the fact that none of my friends also lived up here that I made in college. What do you most hope you don't do now? Lash out, because I feel like lashing out would actually make the ghosts more angry. A 4.
A sum of 1 to 5 is a bust.
Bust, you do the one you hoped you wouldn't, so lash out.
How do you lash out against the young boy coming towards you?
I'm not trying to hurt him. I'm just trying to shove him out of the way and shove anyone out of the way so I can get to the exit.
Turn to 34, please.
I drew a 2. That's a 6. Tell the MC that the ghost assaults you. Tell the MC to turn to 29 in her book.
This young boy's crying turns ferocious and turns to a level of pitch that makes your ears start to bleed. Crazily enough, through the pain of that, and through kind of grabbing your head to try to stop the sound from entering it, you notice that the boy's voice is also affecting the other ghosts in the room. And while they're not necessarily bleeding out of their ears, you see it as if their existence in the physical space is flickering, like they're losing touch with it.
Do I get the sense that it's like loud noises in general, or this boy is special?
I don't know if you've had enough experiences to say yes or no to that question, but it's definitely something you should keep in your back pocket to try if necessary. This ghost hasn't attacked you already, so you go to number 40.
So I drew a 3, that's a 9 total. You can't escape the ghost's assault, but tell the MC what you do to try to survive it. I feel like bleeding ears is fairly painful and assaulty. And so, like, the way I'm trying to survive this is just, as these ghosts are, like, flickering in and out, sort of, like, glitching around me, just, like, shove my fingers in my ears and run for the door to try and get out of here. This strategy hasn't really worked so far. I keep just running into more danger, but I don't think Sam has an idea of what else to do. They're not going to try to sit and talk with these ghosties. That seems wild to them.
Also, if we know one thing about Sam, it's that she's a track and field star, so...
She's a runner, babe. As long as both of her legs are working, she's gonna use them.
Shoving your fingers in your ears and running away from the sound realistically will let you survive to get away from this ghost assault. So I need you to go to 42.
You've escaped the ghost attack, but draw. Okay. I'm only at 9 right now. So as long as I don't have a face card. And there's his face card!
21 is a bust, not 20, so you got a 20.
I like the fourth one.
I also like the fourth one, because I think I've abandoned my light. I think after getting tossed and everything.
Flashlight's gone.
Now go to 31 in your book, please.
You bust open these double doors, and they slam shut behind you. And as you're breathing heavy, you are in this... Which doesn't really make sense to you, because you, why would, odd. You're in a dark and twisting stairwell that should not be right outside the doors to the ballroom.
I was hoping for an entry hallway.
On one wall, on this twisting stairwell, it's all glass with, like, shelves, and there's a lot of things on these shelves from what looked to be like first edition books, a bird skull, an overflowering potted plant. It seems to be a tall case of knickknacks and odd collectibles hidden away in this stairwell.
What first edition books?
They are of a theological nature.
The first Bible!
Theological and the occult in how they mesh.
Okay, interesting. Like a Grimoire or the Witch Hunter's Guide?
Not like a spell book necessarily, but more of like a ritual book or even just like philosophy or like a dissertation on why people are so drawn to such workings in the world. Do these workings exist? What is the relation between humanity and the dark?
Sam is a jock in the middle of a panic attack and is gonna clock that and go, cool, keep running.
The mists roll across the valley over the bodies of hundreds of dead as a large figure rises above the mountains, too large to be anything mortal. Enter Pocket Bard, immersive audio made easy. With an ever-expanding music library, Pocket Bard has made soundscaping for your TTRPG needs seamless and so, so, so very simple. The easy-to-use app provides you with scenes that include ambiance, weather patterns, quick and easy sound effects, as well as backing music with just a touch of a button. Transitioning from town to a long travel journey? Don't worry. A large selection of the music and soundscapes adjust to your adventures, transitioning seamlessly into the next scene. You'll unlock a wide variety of music for all genres of play so that you can weave an incredible tapestry that'll make playing at your table even more memorable than it already was. Check out Pocket Bard at www.pocketbard.app or head to your nearest app store on iOS or Android to access the magic right now.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are starting to go up these stairs. The twisting stairway is of like wrought iron spiral staircase going up. What type of shoes are you wearing? Tennis shoes, boots?
Yeah, I think just like sneakers.
I think still just with the force and the quickness that you're going up, it still kind of clangs in this small area as you go up. I need you to draw a card.
Six.
You see, as you look up, that the staircase stops at the top, and there is a figure sitting on the top stairwell with a book open in their lap. There's an overwhelming smell of like honeysuckle and dirt, earth, like gardening. As you get closer, you notice that even though there's not a lot of color in this space due to the darkness, the pallor of the face of this ghost is much whiter than the rest of it. And as you pound up these stairs...
Can I stop as soon as I see him?
Sure. It kind of lifts its head up from its book and looks down the stairs at you through the steps and the grates and the steps and goes, oh, hello.
Hi. Just like out of breath, like, this one's not immediately trying to kill me. That's a step in the right direction, I guess.
You've found my hiding spot.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just trying to pass through. I'll let you get back to your book.
No, don't leave.
Right, what are you reading?
Well, why don't you come here and look?
I'll take, like, a step forward. Wow, yeah, that's fascinating.
You can't even see it from down there.
Yeah, you know, I a little out of breath running up the stairs so far. Apologies.
Well, come up and sit, and kind of scooches over and taps the seat next to them.
Okay, in their head, they're like, okay, I'm just gonna get up there, and they'll like as far away from the ghost as they can. They'll like go up and then sort of like squat down. That way they're still in a position to be able to like spring up and bolt at like the first sense of things going wrong. But like maybe this guy is a friendly ghost and can get them some more information or whatnot. But they've just almost been murdered like 5 times. So they're not super trusting.
As soon as you squat next to this individual, they slam the book shut, look up at you and go, "Thanks for coming."
No one leaves!
I need you to go to 16.
What about it still seems most human to you? I'm gonna say it's voice. He does sound like someone who is just annoyed that, like, I'm in their spot now. He doesn't seem very sorrowful or scared or angry. Well, he's a kind of angry. He seemed more like, haha, I got you, instead of actually mad. So I'm like, fuck. Okay, 11, 17. Tell the MC that you don't reach out to it in any way.
As it says that, it shoves you. But instead of falling, like, down the stairs, you're caught. As around your neck, a noose forms, hanging from the ceiling, dangling just off the stairs enough that you can't quite reach it with your foot. I need you to go to 40.
All right, I'm at 17 now. Ah, no, I don't have a very good chance, so I'm gonna shuffle. 8. I can't escape the ghost assault, but tell the MC what I do to try to survive it. Is the ghost guy still here?
Mm-hmm.
I think what I do is, instead of trying to reach the step, I like reach up and try to like grab the noose to like pull up and give myself some air, and then like kick out to try and like kick the ghost to give myself some leverage, and then like get enough leverage to like slip it off of my head and then fall to the ground, hopefully not down the fucking stairs. But
based off of the fact that swinging isn't really getting you closer to where you want to be, go to 44.
So I drew 3, so the 11. Ask the MC to choose one. I'm badly hurt, most likely dying. I can't stand, let alone walk. I'm disoriented and lost. Or I'm cornered with no way out.
You're cornered with no way out.
Now you go to 33 in your book.
You have managed to lift yourself up so that you're not actively being strangled, but you haven't been able to kick yourself enough to swing close and grab on. And so as this is happening, the ghost who is watching you kind of just smiles, believes that your strength is going to give out and you will just succumb to this, kind of folds the book into their side and begins walking down the spiral staircase slowly. He continues to go down the stairs until you don't hear their footsteps on the ground anymore. But you also don't hear, like, the door at the bottom open and shut. You just don't hear or see their presence anymore. What do you do? The ghost is right in its assumption that your strength will fail at some point, and you can't figure out how to reach the ledge.
What is the rope attached to above me?
There is a, like, woodwork lattice across the ceiling.
She's just gonna try to climb up to the top and, like, either, like, get on top of the lattice work or, like, find a way to, like, untie herself. She's gonna try to, like, get up on there.
You can't fit through the lattice work, but you can hold on to the lattice work hanging there.
Can I, like, swing my legs up and, like, dangle by my knees and then untie it?
You could fit your legs in. So you pull the knots and loosen the knots and are able to slip it off over your head, and now you're dangling upside down like a bat with this drop to the stairwell below you.
All right, so looking along this lattice work, I'm assuming there's no, like, obvious exit from...
Not along the lattice work. You could crawl and drop back onto, like, the top landing of the stairwell where there is a door.
Is this a physical rope or is this, like, a ghost rope?
It feels like a physical rope.
Can I, like, untie it from the beam and then take it with me?
Sure. You find yourself in the pyramid room of the Major's Inn, which is the peak of the corner tower to this building, the topmost room of the hotel. The tiny landing of the stairwell opens on to one side of this large square room with steeply sloping sides, a pyramid of yellowed wood with small deep windows, with a small deep window high in the north wall. It's kind of one of those small ones too that you can like find in basements or attics, so like a person couldn't fit out of it, but it is there to see out of if you would like to.
Is there anything else in this room?
This room, as you look around, it looks like it had multiple uses at some point. It's a big room, but it feels like an attic. But with the furniture in here, it looks like maybe it had once been like a bedroom, maybe at one point a nursery, like you see a crib in the corner. But there's also just like a bunch of boxes and crates and like a bunch of furniture that has like sheets thrown over it. So it's almost like it was out of use or became a storage room at some point. But there is like a twin bed in here, and there's like a lamp and a writing desk and things like that.
What time is it?
You came here at night. So looking out of that little window, it is nighttime, but there's enough light from the moon. So you, of course, have a phone. It is just after 1 in the morning.
Awesome. So not enough time for me to, like, hole up and wait for the sun to rise. If it was, like, an hour, I might have attempted that. But I think 6 hours is a bit too much to try to survive. Is the door I just came from the only door into and out of this room?
There is another door in this room, if you'd like to open it.
I'm going to look around a little bit first. I'm not going to fuck with the nursery bed or the beds in general. I'm just going to look at these, like, boxes and crates. Do any of them have, like, labels on them? Or are they, like, open and I can see what's in? Or what I have, like...
There aren't any labels on them. They're, like, old wooden crates. You know, the ones that you need, like, a crowbar to kind of, like, actually open. But there are, like, a few vintage chests in here. You open one and you just see, like, a bunch of linens inside of it. You open another one and it seems to be, like, an assortment of, like, candelabras and like half used candles.
The candelabras, are they silver?
Some of them are, yes.
Can I grab a silver candelabra?
Sure.
And so they're gonna be like, all right, I have a rope and I have a silver candelabra and it's better than before when I had nothing. And they're gonna look around and see if there's anything else that they can use as like a weapon or more rope. If they get to a place where there's a window that like can be opened that they can rappel down from. They're looking for like ways that can either help them fight or escape.
I think you can definitely find more rope here. I don't think you find any weapons of any sort here. But in this search, as you kind of are moving things around and searching for stuff, there's a little mark on the ground that looks like it was burned into the wood. It's not a marking or a symbol you necessarily recognize, but it's very clearly there.
How big is this mark?
Probably the size of my palm. It, like, fits easily on, like, one board of wood across the floor.
I know that it's suspicious because you, the GM, have pointed it out. But I think Sam, in this room, wouldn't, like, pay to say. They would, might maybe, like, notice it, but I don't think that they would think of it as anything odd or too out of the ordinary. If there is a way to like see if any of these wooden floorboards are like hollow and like are hiding things underneath them, I think maybe they'd be like, oh, that's weird on the wood floorboards. Oh, maybe there's stuff under the floors somewhere. Like they like knock on a couple pieces, see if it's like hollow in any spot.
You find as you're knocking a hollow and you open it and it's like stuffed with straw. And there is a small knife with very old dried blood on it. It's like dark brown at this point on the blade. There is a small, very thin, soft notebook inside as well. And there's a piece of maroon fabric that looks like it was harshly ripped. I need you to draw a card, though.
11, 12, 13.
When you find this, what do you do?
They're like, oh, this was clearly a murder weapon and some evidence that someone, like, hid. the knife seems like a good idea to have as like a weapon, but because it's still covered in like the blood, they don't know if that's gonna like notify a ghost of their presence or whatnot. The maroon fabric, they're not quite sure what to do with, and so they're going to reach for the soft notebook and read like the last entry in it first before maybe deciding and reading others. But they're gonna be like, maybe if I can figure out what the fuck's up with these ghosts, I can get them to leave me alone.
There's not very many pages in this book, so the last entry in this book, there's only like a few pages of blank space left after it. But the handwriting is almost like doctor scribble. It's like so hard to read and to make out, but you can kind of just like looking at it and trying to parse it, that it is kind of medically related in the sense of a person, an unnamed individual, was being observed. There aren't any actual like medical notes of like heart rate or, you know, scientific data or anything like that. It just sounds like someone was being observed. It says, I didn't know how each person would deal with the harnessing of power differently, but it has become the conclusion of this examination that the harnessing of said power leads each person to the same end.
You said there's not a lot of pages in this notebook anyways.
No, it's small. And if you go back to the front, it looks like this is the last in like a series of something.
Can I glean any other information by reading the rest of it?
There are no names in it. Anybody is referred to by initials only. There aren't full names. And in this one specifically, there are only, aside from the author, two separate people being referred to. The only other thing about it is that they were being compared to one another in some way. Like, day one, this happened to this person, and this happened to this person. Day 15, this happened to this person, and this happened to this person.
What were some of the things that were happening?
Day one, RK, there was no significant changes discovered. Day one for SW, there was a change in eye color. Day 15 for RK, there was significant disillusionment with reality. Day 15 for SW, they were showing signs of concerning self-harm. There's like gradual, like not normal shifts in physicality and human behavior.
Does it seem like any of the physicality, like, because changing eye color is wild. Like, do these people get inhuman traits or their human traits shift?
It doesn't seem like that. It seems like human traits shift and or their human traits become warped, but not like they grow a tail or they grow claws or anything like that.
And then the mental stuff, is it like deteriorating?
I think it's hard to tell if it's a deterioration or a shift.
The maroon fabric that torn, is it looks to be like torn from a more feminine or masculine piece of clothing?
I don't think you can tell. It's just kind of cotton.
And then the knife, is there, besides the blood, is there any like writing or etchings or like engravings or anything on the handle or the blade?
There aren't any engravings. The handle looks well made though, but it's not like super intricately designed. It just looks like it probably cost a bit more money, but it wasn't like a collector's piece or anything of that sort.
Was this under the floorboard that had the burn mark on it?
No, there was nothing under that floorboard.
I'm going to take the book and a piece of maroon fabric and put them in my pocket. And then I'm going to take the knife and just sort of like, see, here's the thing. I don't know if getting into like a conflict with a ghost with this knife would make them like scared of me or make them want to listen to me, or if it just piss them off. Because so far they just tend to get pissed off. But so I want to try something different. So I'll take the knife. Is it like foldable or is it just like?
No, it's not collapsible. The blade is out. As you're kind of grabbing these items, kneeling on the floor, the door to the room crashes open. Running really fast into the room is a man, probably late 20s. He also has facial hair, but it's not as well kept as the man in the memory that you saw. Wearing a top hat and like a suit with tails, comes dashing into the room, muttering to itself in a language that you don't understand and can't speak, but that sounds kind of like vaguely like one of the romance languages. I need you to draw a card.
20, okay.
This individual runs to the opposite side of the room, runs to kind of a large dresser, and like just begins violently to pull the drawers out and like toss stuff in a haste behind him, desperately searching for something. You have to go to 4.
What do I most hope it doesn't do? I think stop still. I'm at 20 now here, so I have to reshuffle. 6 to 12, it does one of the others. So it either looks at me, reaches out to me, or speaks. So I think it's going to speak, and then you go to 15 in your book and take branch B.
It doesn't stop still, but there's a shift and a pause, and it's like violence of ripping things, like it's hurry almost. And it kind of like straightens up a little bit, and you hear, I thought I told you not to come here.
Is it speaking to me?
It's not looking at you, but you're the only other person in the room.
Knife behind back, candelabra in other hand, rope like across my chest, book and fabric in pocket. Right, sir, I'll be on my way then, to try and like imitate another ghost.
You say that, and this ghost turns around on the spot, almost kind of like militarily. Steps and turns around. It will draw too much suspicion on us, you being here.
Right, I'll leave then. Which way would you?
His eyes are drawn to the open boards of the floor. He takes his couple steps towards you as he does so. Are you hiding things from me in the floor of boards of the room?
No, you can look in the floors, and you see there's nothing there. It's just a loose board. I was gonna maybe fix it up.
Steps a couple more. Steps close to you. I think what's disconcerting about this is that the other ghost's presence changed when they became violent and angry. Like, you saw a shift in their expressions, or they became more ghostly, supernatural, murderous intent. What Sam is getting from this is that this is the nervousness of being a woman with a man in an alley at night. It's almost like that is his supernatural power, of like that just rolls off of him in waves that almost have Sam freezing in spot with fear, because he's slow and meticulous. And his steps are unhurried, like he knows he has a rabbit in a cage already. I need you to go to... we've done all of these already. So let's go back to... Let's just start over. You go to 14.
From what I can gather, does it look like this guy is a medical professional? Like, what is he wearing? Like, is he wearing anything?
He looks like he's some sort of, like, necessary profession, whether that is a doctor, but he's not in, like, doctor garbs, or, like, a lawyer, or... Maybe he's just like a rich fool who inherited land, and now like his entire job is keeping a manor somewhere. He's not in a uniform. He is in a coat with tails.
What do you most hope it doesn't do? I think touch me is the obvious choice there. And I'm not going to shuffle. 18. Does none of them. When he gets close to me, I'm just going to go, ah, and like just aim for his like gut.
I'm deciding that this is provoking the ghost to violence because you are committing violence against him. Or I guess actually we could do you are confronting the ghost. Maybe that's a better one to do. So you go to 34.
I need to get between a 6 and a 12. So I'm going to recall and shuffle because that gives me the better statistical chance of not dying instantly. But
watch it be 2.
Watch you pull a 1 to 5.
4! Go to page 35! Tell the MC that the ghost assaults me and is going to murder me.
Unfortunately, the ghost does touch you now. He reaches out fast as lightning, grips your biceps so hard his fingers dig in and they're going to bruise. And you watch him pull a knife from his pocket that is 100% the knife that you have behind your back. And he brings you very, very close to him and puts it under your neck as if he's going to shove it up through your throat and into your brain. I need you to go to 40.
Draw 12. You can't escape the ghost assault, but tell the MC what you do to try to survive it. I think I'm going to try to just mirror his action because he's grabbed my bicep and I'm just going to try to like take my other hand and like stab it underneath his chin first.
I don't think that this action will let you survive. What's so interesting is that as you plunge the dagger up, even though his body feels physical, there's no obstruction at all. There's no force needed to get this knife into this ghost's neck. It just goes, and it punctures and it bleeds, but there's no expression on his face acting like he noticed it happened. And you witness that before you notice that there's a knife in your neck. And then there's a moment of as the blood comes up, filling your mouth. And you can see his face and his lips twitch into a smile of satisfaction as he watches you, his head kind of cocked on his neck a little to the side, and watches the life slowly drain from your body. And he holds you up like that until your last breath, and then he drops you and your body crumples to the floor. Can you go look at 46?
You've been murdered by ghosts. The end. Thanks for playing.
Well, thank you all for listening to this episode, this Halloween special, our 3-year birthday. Super excited to continue on a whole another year of Queer PG. We still have our Press Pause series coming out this fall into the winter a little bit. And then next year, I'm not going to announce it right now because I don't know when we're going to announce it. Probably in the next month, sometime in November. So I'm not going to do it early now. But in the new year, we've got some awesome, really awesome coming at you from the get-go. Very excited to announce that, so keep your eyes peeled. If any of you are going to be at PAX, Ash and I are going to be at PAX U. You should come say hi. Are we doing anything else this fall? No.
No.
Absolutely
I'm tired.
Not. I'm going to just go to bed tired. For the winter, hibernate like a bear.
Yeah.
Yes, we're working on some cool things. You also probably at this point have seen our new updated Patreon stuff. So check that out. It's going to effect on November 1st. So if you haven't, if you're not on our Patreon, you can go see what the new stuff is going to be over there and join us for a good time.
All our little goodies.
But yes, thank you so much for listening and for following us all these years. And if you're a new listener, thanks for joining us for this. Until next time, everyone.
Bye.